I think you should fight the guy that actually threw the beer at you.
I was gonna say that. Yeah, that's what I think.
Because I was like, we got it on camera now. We got the playback. It wasn't that other guy.
Let's set it up, Triller.
Let's find the guy.
Meta versus
the guy. Fan who threw the beer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Fierce Talk. I'm here with my always reliable co-host and best friend, Scott Sullivan. What's up, Scott, man? How you doing? I haven't seen you for like 2 weeks. What's going on with you?
I was home. I was actually in Queensbridge the other day.
Where's that at?
Some guy that we're talking to today is over there. He's from there somewhere.
Who do we got today? We got somebody special, guys. He's one of my favorite players watching growing up. I remember him with Pau Gasol, Kobe. You may have seen him show his boxing moves on the court, but you also see them go grab the rebounds, put it back up. It's Meta, baby.
Yeah.
Meta, let's go. He's here with us today. Meta's in the house. Welcome to the show, man. Thank you for coming on. It's an honor to have you here, and I'm so thankful, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here, Ryan. Like I was telling you earlier before we was talking, you're family because Oscar knows you. That's the main reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm such a big fan of boxing, and I know a lot about boxing. When Oscar invited me down to do a show on ringside, it was literally the best thing ever because I'd rather do that than a boxing than talk about basketball. I'd much rather talk about boxing.
It's actually a real honor because I remember coming up and seeing you, and I was so excited when you were next to Oscar De La Hoya, and I was just like, man, Ron Artest is here. And I hadn't been in the game for too long, so I really hadn't seen a lot of quote-unquote celebrities or, you know, famous people or just great athletes, in the game. But then when I seen you, I just felt like, man, I'm making it, you know what I mean? Ron Artest is here. He likes how I fight. Okay, I'm going to keep pushing it, keep going. So, yeah, man, I'm so glad to now see you right here in front of the camera, and just now I get to talk to you and ask you questions that I always wanted to ask.
I love boxing because I wanted to fight. My dad was a boxer, but he didn't let me fight. And actually, I was going to retire at the age of 23, a year older than you, because I was going through a lot in my profession. Mm. And then I actually spoke to Angelo Dundee, and I told him, I said, Angelo, I want to start fighting. He said, okay, I'm going to train you. And he passed away shortly after. He said, I'm a trainer. I said, Angelo, I don't want to fight for 10 years because I knew for a fact it was going to take me that long to get ready because I wanted to give my dad 2 fights because I love my dad and he was a boxer. So I wanted to give him a present, 2 fights in the ring. And then when I got into the brawl, it just was like, I was going to announce that I was going to turn pro at 35, but it was just bad time for me. So I just gave it all up. Man. But I'm a huge fan of boxing, man. I love boxing a lot.
That's great, man. Who did you look up to as a basketball player growing up? Like, who was some of your inspirations? Who was some of the people that you looked to and was like, and I like how he plays. Like, I just like some part of him that, you know, it kind of inspires me.
Man, a lot of people. So I really love Michael Jordan's defense. Obviously, his offense was amazing, but I used to watch Michael Jordan on defense and I just fell in love. Dennis Rodman, his defense and hustle. I didn't really understand how good Dennis Rodman was on the defensive side. Mm. Until I watched him later after I retired, but I just know Dennis for hustling until I seen him play in Detroit. He was amazing. Lindsey Hunter. Lindsey Hunter is somebody that nobody talk about a lot, but he was an amazing defender. He's one of my favorite defenders. And then there's guys like Bill Russell who came before us. I don't have much history with Bill, but you know what he's done. You're talking about 11 rings as a player. That's like LeBron James.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's another level, man. That's another level.
You've mentioned before that you were inspired by some of the guys from your neighborhood too.
You know? I didn't want to go there, but yeah. So I mean, you know, I'm well, you know, I mean, growing up, like, I mean, so most of the people in my neighborhood was, you know, hustlers, and those are the people that inspired me a lot. You know, because even though I wasn't going down that path, I did dibble and dabble a couple times with different things in my neighborhood. But a lot of the guys that I played with was all hustlers, most of them dead or in jail or out. And that's the people that inspired me. They brought me on the court. They taught me how to play the game. And then they would go sell their drugs, you know, and come back. Yeah. But but when you talk about life, I understand why people would do those things. That when we were kids, they were trying to eat. I pray for them, and I pray for the next generation that's coming up, Latino. A lot of people in the Latino community that they don't even have a place to fall back on. You know, they can box, they can play soccer, they can golf, they can be math scientists.
Right.
But they're in a bad situation in my community also.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, shout out to all the people that's out there hustling and that you know, wish they could be doing something else. But those are the people that taught me how to, you know, how to play the hustle.
Yeah, I grew up in a similar kind of community. The Black community and the Latino community is really just one community in the project. Like, you kind of just grow up with just both communities together, and you kind of just find bondship and friendship. And, you know, it's not about that. You know what I mean? It's not about Black or Brown. It's just uniting, you know what I mean? Uniting communities that really don't have much hope. You know what I mean? We don't really have much hope. You don't really see it. You kind of just, you try to get out of there, and then you kind of just go back into those same cycle where it's selling drugs or, you know, joining gangs and stuff like that. And I think it's our responsibility as people that literally just kind of ignore that temptation or that negative influence on us, and we just kept focused on our dreams. And I shout out to my parents for trying to keep me out of that as best as they can, and I did. But I think now it's my responsibility to tell kids, like, you don't need to choose to just go with the influence of everybody else. You could choose to do the right thing no matter what situation you're in. And I think that's both things that me and you kind of touch on sometimes, especially also with mental health. They don't know, living in a community like that, you don't know what it does to your mental state until after. You know what I mean? You kind of, right there, you're living in it, so you don't see it. You know what I mean? It's like watching your kid grow. You don't see him actually grow, but all of a sudden, a year later, he's taller. You know what I mean? So same thing. Like, mentally, I didn't know how affected I was until later. And now I still have a little bit of anxiety and stuff like that. But I think it's good that me and you are speaking on that stuff, where, you know, people don't want to speak about that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just think it's important to have people that can relate to you. Some kid that's 5 years old right now.
Right.
That is going to grow up and going to have to make a decision, you know, and we just wish the best for the future of those children, that they can make the right decision, man. So
yeah,
definitely.
yeah, for sure. For sure. What's up for you though? What's next? What's next? What you say, you were telling me a little bit, like, you took a little break off of social. I didn't see you as much at the fights. You kind of went ghost on everybody. What's next? I'm excited, man. I want to see the return of the some of the greatest personality I've ever seen in my life.
You know what I mean? It was weird.
Just bring it.
I know, right? I know, man. So I was on, like I said, when I was in my prime, such as you are right now, mm-hmm. I was on social. I do a tweet. I get a lot of tweets, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be like an actor and / an artist. That was one of the things I was trying to do, but mm-hmm. I don't think I approached it right. And I was doing it for so many years, I got burnt out. Mm. You know, from not being able to make the right music because, you know, just not having a team to actually complete it and put it out, acting, not getting the right roles that I wanted, right? Mm. And giving so much to entertainment. And I just got burnt out. So I just deleted all my accounts. And I said, you know what? It was a good run, 10 years. And I said, yeah, I'm going to try something different. So I went back to school. I went back to UCLA after I retired, did a little bit of digital analytics. And I'm still in entertainment, but from a different angle. And now I'm back on social, and I was telling you earlier, I'm a big fan. I didn't expect this, but my partner called me and was like, Ryan wants to interview you. I'm like, well, this is crazy, because as I'm getting back involved, like, you're one of the biggest social media stars, right? Yeah. So many good things about you, you know, which is all great. You should embrace it all. You're a hell of a fighter.
Yeah.
You got a great look. You're a social media star. You don't need boxing to make money.
Yeah. It's a blessing. It's a blessing from God. And, you know, we just got to use it the best we can. Yeah. And when they approached me, like, you want to get Meta on? I said, what? This is my guy. Of course, man. And I'm happy that now it's kind of aligning. You know, you wanted to get back into it, and now we're back. And next is the Body Shot Challenge.
Oh, man, I know. And I'm actually happy I'm not there for that.
I know. And I was hoping you would come, man. I was hoping you would come. Definitely, definitely.
Hey, you gotta try one day. Let me get my abs right.
Oh, he gotta get to work real quick.
You know, we're gonna set, you know, all these boxing matches are going on with these celebrities. I got some people I need you to fight, man. I got some people. Hey, you always wanted to do the fighting. You probably have a better chance now than you did probably 5 years whenever you're trying to fight. So many big fights are happening right now with celebrities. I wouldn't be surprised if I seen you with another NBA player going at it on DAZN or Triller or something.
You know what? I would do it if I'm training with Nick Cam, Canelo.
Yeah, yeah.
Ray, Coach Ray.
Yeah, and Reynoso, Eddie Reynoso. Reynoso,
yeah, because yeah. Reynoso. What I want to do, what I want to learn more than anything is defense. I literally, nice. I can care less about punching.
Right,
right. How does Canelo play defense like that? I call it play defense. It's boxing.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like that whole hitting without hitting. He just has that feel for it. Defense is more feeling it. You kind of see like a...
Yeah.
If you've done it so many times, you see like the same situation and you know... Majority of times is what he's going to throw, and then you could anticipate the shot. So I think the more experience you got, and then just overall with the right teacher, I say all the time, Reynoso is like Phil Jackson. He cuts the bullshit and gets to what works. So we don't do anything fancy. Everybody expects us to be doing like some new age things, but we're just grind, you know what I mean? Grind and do the right things, and we just keep on repetition, just repetition. Oh, I think the best thing you could do is repetition.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. So when I'm looking at Canelo fight, and I've watched his fight against Kovalev like a lot of times, right?
Right.
And also against his last fight, against quicker punches. When he's dodging before the punch comes, is he looking at the shoulder? Like what is the first thing that he's looking at? Because when I'm playing defense, I will use math. I was a math major, architect major in college, right?
Right?
When I'm playing defense, I'm trying to see where the ball is at versus your leg. Your midsection, and where's that triangle? So I see a triangle, right? No. And I do everything in my soul to stay in front of that triangle, so I can predict certain things.
Yes.
How do you see a punch coming? Because I've been in the ring before, and I tried to move. I kept getting hit with jabs. I couldn't move out the way. I was like, damn. I'm like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. I think defense is all about, kind of anticipating the shot, because there's no way you could just look at his shoulder. By the time you're looking at his shoulder, he already hit you, especially if they're a little faster. Obviously, if they're slow, you know, you should be able to get away from the punch. I mean, right. If they're slow, but if they're fast, it's all about feeling it. Like just like Bruce Lee said in Enter the Dragon, if you watched it, the guy's like shooting a kick and he's like, why are you thinking so much? Just feel it. So it's the same thing with like when I'm in the ring, what I'm doing is I'm feeling like, I'm just feeling it. You get in your rhythm, and then if they're throwing a shot, you'll know if it has enough, range to hit you. So you got to understand your range, because sometimes you don't need to move your head. Sometimes you move your head for no reason. You know what I mean? I kind of just...
Let me ask a question. I see that. So I see some boxes that let the punch come right here.
Yep.
So you're saying if you don't need to move, don't move?
You don't need to move. You need to control range first. That's the main thing you need to learn about defense is range.
He wants to fight. I can see look in his face. Really, he wants to fight. I can see.
All right. I have a quick question for you. If you want to fight anybody, you would right now, who would you do? If I could set up a match with some platform to get you on, throw you a bag. Let's go. Who do you want? Call him out right now.
All right, so one, you got to walk me out.
Hey, that's done already. I'm coming out.
Cool. All right, so this is funny because I actually don't want to fight anyone. But I don't want to fight anyone. But if I had to fight someone, can I give you some names?
Yeah, give me some names. Throw some names out.
I think a big fight, which I don't want to do, and I'm not going to do it, no matter how much money you offer me, it'd be Ben Wallace.
We were talking about Ben Wallace.
I'm not fighting Ben Wallace, but that's a big fight. That's a big fight.
Hey, that fight's going to, the likelihood of that fight happening just went up.
Yeah, that likely just went right up, but let's give a couple more names,
I would fight my brother Diplo.
What? Hey, that was so random.
Yo, he wants to fight.
No, Diplo's my brother. That's why I'll fight Diplo, because we'll train together and we'll stage it.
Yeah. And one more. You got one more. You got to do one more at least. One more. Come on. Bring something hot.
Oh, man. Who is that? Okay, you know who I would fight?
Yeah.
If I was training with you guys,
yeah.
But they can only use their right hand. And it can't be no uppercuts or no hooks. No hooks.
Yeah,
no,
only right hand.
Only a jab from here. You gotta start here.
You gotta start.
I'll be Deontay Wilder.
Oh,
but his left hand gotta be tied. No, his right hand gotta be tied here on his back.
Yeah, his right hand. Only he can only use his. Yo, hey, Deontay has a nasty right hand. Now that's a deadly punch right there.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Good Lord.
That punch, hey, he could be losing the whole fight, but if he hits you with that good one, it's over.
Yeah, it's really impressive, man. Really impressive.
I think you should fight the guy that actually threw the beer at you.
I was gonna say that. Yeah, that's what I think.
Because I was like, we got it on camera now. We got the playback. It wasn't that other guy.
Let's set it up, Triller.
Let's find the guy.
Meta versus the guy.
Fan who threw the beer. Right, it was the right fan, the right one. Yeah, not the one he went at.
No. Let's tell a story. Let me tell you the story.
All right.
And tell me if you think about it differently.
Okay.
So the one that I actually push.
Right.
He bet the guy who hit me $50.
No. What? Did he really?
Yes, he really.
Yo, what? Yeah, I would have punched both of them.
Yeah. But he didn't. You didn't know who the real guy was, though, right?
Well, what happened was when I got hit, I was laying down. And when I got hit, I got pissed. You know?
Yeah.
And then I looked in a direction and he was like this.
Like, I did it.
Yeah, no, he didn't do that. He was saying, oh wow, you did it, you hit him.
Oh yeah, but you were like, I did it. That's what you interpreted. No,
I seen
as,
it, I'm like, you did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that he
oh,
did that.
Oh my god.
That's why I went after that guy. But I'm happy that's a long I'm yeah, happy so, I can laugh about it because I couldn't laugh about that for a long time.
Man, I'm happy we're laughing now, man.
What do you think about social media being someone who's gone through so much and you know, you're a real dude. You're one of the realest dudes because I've seen a lot of your stuff over the years and you're just very, very honest. So, like, what do you think about that? What do you think about social media?
Yeah, I mean, social media is great. Yeah. I think it really is great. For me, I got burnt out because I was just doing a lot of different things to try to cause reactions and just to brand myself.
Right.
A lot of things I was doing wasn't working, so I got burnt out. And then, of course, sometimes with your career, you can get trolls and stuff. But I got back on. I said, you know what? I'm just going to get back on. I didn't care.
Right.
But I think social media is a great thing, man. I think it's people are making money these days that would not have had the opportunity to make money.
100%.
100%. I think it's great.
I think it gives power to like the people in a sense where you don't have to work in or anybody. You could just make money yourself. You don't need anybody. You set up your camera and you be you. And sometimes just being you could bring millions and millions of dollars of revenue just by your iPhone, which is crazy to even think about. And it's so good for, I think, this generation and just to be able to speak on things freely because you're not under control, under a promoter or a platform or a boss. I don't know. You could just literally turn on the camera and talk about anything you want to talk about and make money off it. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's some of the best things about social media. You're not under control of anybody. You're in control of yourself. And you know, people would check you on the internet if you're doing something wrong super quick. And that's a great thing too. It's like the people are your boss kind of in a way. Cause you're kind of like, whoa, did I say something wrong? Or is it just the truth? You know what I mean? You could always stand by the truth, but then sometimes people will make you reflect on yourself and say, well, that wasn't my best. That's not what I was trying to. That wasn't my intention. But you know, you get what I mean. I think social media is great. It's of course a double edged sword because you could get burnt out. I've gotten burnt out a couple of times. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna take a little break because this is irritating sometimes.
You got 6 million on Instagram now?
8.6 million.
But you got 4 million last year. I mean, it was just surprising because I'm like, you came up as a boxer, and then I turned around, you got 2 million followers.
Yeah.
Like, that was just insane. That's like Floyd Mayweather, you know? Floyd did that the right way. So hopefully, well, not hopefully, you keep utilizing them and have them buy a pay-per-view for $79.
And the best thing, I'm only 22, so I have like, I've seen all these athletes, like I look back and I said, like, I was thinking to myself, man, how can I get to the level of Michael or like Conor McGregor or, you know, Floyd Mayweather? I looked at all of them. They didn't get to that till they were like 30, 30, 31, 32. And I'm like, oh, I got time. Like, I'm ahead of the game. I better slow down a little bit. Because I'm like, I didn't know how much time I was ahead because they didn't start getting fame until later. Like, they had to have, like, a huge moment later on in their career. Like, Mayweather fought Oscar at what age? I forgot.
30.
Like 30. 30. And then he blew up. Conor, like, about 30. Michael, he won his first championship around 30 years old, too. I believe so. So, there was just things that I look and I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
That's beautiful. Man. I love boxing because the boxing, you got a chance to make so much money. It's like, it's really cool that you give so much to the fans like us. Right. And then you get like, you get 30 years old, you get check after check after check after check. Mm-hmm. And it's what you work so hard for. It's not about the money. It's about the work that you put in. Yeah. And now you're able to take care of your family. And boxing to me is the number one sport in America. It's been around longer than any sport. Boxing's been around longer than basketball.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
It shows that is the number one sport. People say boxing is dead, but I'm like, it's not true. Because boxing is the number one sport. It's embedded in America to love boxing.
It's embedded pretty much in the world. I mean, you see Muhammad Ali, he fought everywhere in the world and people loved it. Yeah. I think boxing, it just goes back to the gladiator days, you know, in Rome, where you would throw, you know, two people with two swords and see who wins.
Yeah.
You're putting people with two pairs of gloves on your hands and you're ready to go. You know what I mean? A pair of gloves and you're ready to go. So it kind of goes back to that just inner thing to you where, you know, gladiator. And to me, I always tell people the best thing I love about boxing is it's the most truthful sport in the world. Like you can't cut corners in boxing. If you think you're cutting corners, it's the moment you already lost. You just cannot cut corners. The one that doesn't cut corners is boxing. Is majority of the time is going to win. You know what I mean? The only thing untruthful is that, you know, we try to get the fights done and sometimes the promoters with the money and then the trying to control power, that's the only thing that's not honest about it, right? But when two people get in the ring.
I heard you speak on that a couple times.
100%. I will feel it the same way. I still feel the same way about boxing right now. It's too many titles in the game. There's too many problems on the fact that the rankings are all messed up. There's no true rankings. There's no true champions. To me, that's why I always tell people, they're like, well, why wouldn't you want to fight Devin Haney right now? You're his mandatory. I said, man, how did he become champion? Who did he fight? He didn't fight anybody to be a champion. So I'm not going to fight for a title. I don't believe he's champion. Now, if he was like Gervonta Davis, and I'm next in line, let's go. Because I feel like he beat a couple people to get that championship. Right. If I get to fight Teofimo, let's get it on. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go after a title I don't feel like he did deserve. You know, why should I fight somebody I didn't feel like had the road I had? You know what I mean? I don't care what you guys do. I don't need boxing. You know what I mean? I don't need any of this. All I need, I box because I love to do it. And I love to give the fans the best fights. Now, the fans want to see me fight Gervonta Davis. Let's go. I don't care.
I personally feel that fight's too early. I personally don't want to see that fight now. I'll tell you why. Because I want y'all to fight when y'all can get the most money as possible. Mm. And that's just me personally. I feel like, and I don't mean, sorry, promoters, but I'm always thinking about when the fight is right for the boxers. Why waste it early when you can get a bag later? But, you know, that's just me.
I know. I respect that take because you want the boxers to get the most money possible because they do go in the ring and risk their lives. So I understand that, too. I'm just always in the aspect is I always want to squeeze every ounce of greatness. I know we're at some of our prime, and I know promoters are going to want us to wait a long time. But to be honest, like any of us could lose.
That's true.
We're undefeated right now. I'm ready to put it all on the line. And like, I don't chase money. I chase purpose. I chase greatness. So I don't care about the money. I really don't. I just care about taking care of my family, providing for my family. I know we're going to make enough money to provide for our families for the fight. Regardless, you know what I mean? To me, there's not really much of a difference between 100 million and 50 million. But some people it does. Some people it matters to them. But say I win that fight, right? And my endorsements, there's a lot of things that are the upside for both of us, though. Not just me, for both of us. If he wins, he gets the fortune and the fame and all that. If I win, I already got the fame, but I'll definitely have some more fortune and some more endorsements coming on my way. And I just know that I'm going to do good with that. I'll find a way to use my money the right way and get on with my life. But That's what I'm saying. I don't chase money. I just chase purpose. But like, I definitely agree with you, though. I agree that it would be a bigger fight later down in the line. And the fact is, just more time, more hype. You know what I mean? I mean, Mayweather showed that with Pacquiao. They took a while, but they broke records. So you can't deny that. You cannot deny that. But it's a kind of like basketball, though. Like basketball, they don't wait, though. But then again, they have games all the time, though.
Hey, Meta, you were trying to be great, Meta, because you played hard. That's the best way I could say it.
What were some of your
best moments? Reflecting on your entire NBA career,
like I think some of my best moments when I would hold people to 2 points and 0 points and 3 points. I mean, it was really difficult to do it. And people don't really get it because they don't show that a lot. They'll show like a Michael Jordan come fly with me video, LeBron James dunks on Jason Terry. But they don't really show like when somebody wouldn't score. Like, how does that look?
Right.
How does it look when you have 2 points or 4 points? Like, I want to see how that looks produced.
That's
some of my favorite moments when I would just like walk on the floor and LeBron James, but he has a great shot. He's amazing. But some players, you're not going to do nothing tonight. And you know it.
and that's the beauty of it. Like, people all want to see the spectacular dunks, the crazy threes, but how do we express the little details in the game where that's beauty too? There's beauty in getting down and locking somebody up. There's beauty in that. But how do you do that though? How do you show that and how do you bring that to life? I'm interested to know that too, because I mean, you can see in a boxing the defense and that's still beautiful too. And people still want to see that. But how do you bring that on the court and show like, damn, that was crazy. Like he locked a great player up. But how do you bring that to life? And how would you think that, though?
I've been trying to work on something like that for a long time. Because even when I did my documentary, like they told me that it was going to be about my basketball game. So I'm like, if it's going to be about my game, let me show you the clips to get that I remember to clear as day.
Oh, wow.
But then it turned into a mental health doc, so which was still cool, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But now when you talk about defense, I would just like, you could do it a couple ways. If you did it like in 30 minutes, you could just, you know, maybe interview the player that you was playing against and just show the stats.
Right, right.
And then just show like, show his average and be like, yo,
you know what would be cool too? Like having an animation of kind of what you're describing. Like somebody locking up and then the other player that's trying to score sweating because they can't get that shot off. Or just some little things that could do that could show it in a more artistic way. Like the other player you're locking up, his heart's beating fast because he can't move the certain way. He can't get the shot off because you're putting that mental pressure on him. There's probably like a deeper way you could do it. And I think it's actually a beautiful thing. Like when you're able to lock down a great player because you're causing some type of stress on him and you're locking him up. That's to me, that's dope. Like, I want to lock up everybody too.
Yeah. I mean, you know? And it's not like, because sometimes if I'm talking about locking somebody up, that could be personal because that's like saying you can't beat me in a fight.
Exactly.
So I'm not trying to give off that energy. I'm just saying, like, I'm so happy with I worked on this. Like, I was in the gym and doing my slides before I pick up a ball.
And
to see it translate, the only way I can show it is if I mention people that I locked up. I'm not trying to like disrespect anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying I'm really happy with how, you know, I'm really happy that I was able to do that.
And I think anybody that takes offense of it doesn't love the game. If you don't love the game and every aspect of it, then now you're just kind of hating. Like, it's not about me saying I lock you up, I'm better than you. It's about, hey, this is just part of the game. Hey, when you score on me, am I crying about it? No. When I locked you up, you shouldn't cry about it either, though. You know what I mean? Hey, if you don't want to play if you don't love the game, if you don't love both parts of the game, then you got a problem there.
Hey, you locked up a lot of shots, but you also had, you know, you said that was your favorite part was being able to do that, but you know, you had some great shots, unfortunately for me, against the Celtics. Because I'm from Boston. So
okay.
But what was your time like with the Lakers? What was that like being a teammate with Kobe? You know, what was that like?
I mean, it was amazing, man. RIP my brother Kobe, man. It was just I mean, it was magical. That's why when he passed away, I still don't believe it to this day. I mean, we know it happened, but it's just hard to, it's hard to believe that he's not here. Really, really difficult, but it was magical. Just imagine being on the court and you know that you gotta, you know, it's like you're gonna throw an uppercut and you know the same uppercut is gonna work every time. Yeah. 10 uppercut knockouts. And the fans is waiting for it, and boom, another one, and boom, another. They knocked out 10 people with the same uppercut.
And there's nothing you could do about it.
Nothing you could do about it. And just watching Kobe's like, he had 25 straight points in game 5 in Boston. All of our points. Nobody scored on our team from the 3rd to the 4th. And I remember watching it in the finals and like, snap out of it. You got to play, snap out of it. Could be in the game. Yeah. We're just watching them, right?
I remember watching that too.
Man, it's beautiful though. I think Kobe, I would always watch him too. I would always watch him. I loved his, obviously, Mamba mentality. And I just kind of had that in my heart as a kid as well. So I was able to relate to that because I always wanted to win and I always wanted to get better. And I would do the little details, things that nobody would want to do. My dad would say the same, like, you don't got to tell Ryan to run. He's already running. So it's like, nobody had to tell me to do anything. And then when he said in the documentary about, I think it was his documentary where a player told him like, hey, don't look Michael Jordan in the eye. And he said, what? I'm that person too. You ain't going to look at me in the eye. That's how I am. Like, man, don't say that. I'm not like a Canelo, man. I'm just like that. I'm like a Sugar Ray Robinson. I'm like a Muhammad Ali. That's who I want to be. And that's who I am. So don't tell me I'm not that because I'll prove it to you. I am that. So that's kind of like a thing that I got from Kobe where it was like, man, I was able to relate because I was like, he wants it. He loves it. And he wants to be the best. And you could challenge it. Yeah. He's not saying you can't challenge it, but you better be ready because he's going to be shooting baskets at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Getting to it, right? Was he really like that? Like when you would watch him in practice, like was that what was he really about that? Like
he in the gym. Yeah. You go in the gym at 5:30, you're gonna see Kobe. You're gonna see Kobe.
Man.
I was a workaholic, but I would do things like go to the gym 4 times a day.
Right.
And I wouldn't go that early.
Mm.
But I would go like 3 a.m. Like you know. I go after the club. I'll be hammered. Yeah. I go right to the gym, sweat all the alcohol out.
Hey, that's great though.
I was working.
Man, that's awesome, man. And then your guys' run in that championship with Paul Gasol and all that. How much credit do you give to Phil Jackson? Is he really the greatest coach of all time? I've always wanted to ask that too, because I always had a sense of comfort with Phil Jackson on a squad. I just did. I just kind of like Bill Belichick with Tom Brady. I kind of just had that sense of comfort. Like they'll get it together no matter what. Is that kind of what you felt with Phil Jackson? Like how was your guys' relationship? How was that?
I was really grateful for Phil. I called Phil, I was 29. I was getting into meditation. He's a Zen master, so that was beautiful. He's a Zen master, right? So I was then I changed my name to Meta. I was getting into Buddhism. Meta is a Buddhist name.
All right.
I think he is top 2-3 coaches, of all time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. You got Orbach, you have Pat Riley, Phil. And then some coaches didn't win, like Rick Adelman. Like he never won a title, but amazing, amazing coach.
Mm. How did you feel meditation helped with you in your sport? And just kind of the pressure of the events and all that. What was like that to you? Because I mean, obviously, before every fight, I'm talking to God, right? I'm always talking to God and I'm praying. Like I'm very spiritual when it comes to, you know, Jesus, God, and just all that whole aspect of it. I give that, I mean, Scott, no, I give that credit on everything. Like it's not me. I let go of my ego a long time ago. And I think that's what helped me the most. When I let go of myself, I kind of was just like more about everybody else. You get what I mean? Like it's not about me no more. That's when I freely felt myself progress. When I said, it's not about me. Why am I fighting for myself? It doesn't matter. Like, who do I think I am, right? So how was that meditation and just that whole spiritual journey with you? What was that like?
It felt great, man, because when I started to get into it, I didn't have no tools to deal with anxiety, you know? So Because I'm used to, if you have a problem with someone, you just fight. Or if you're upset, you just explode. You just get upset
yeah.
and show the world. You know, but you can't do that when you're the number two option on a team.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your trainer, because it's only you and then the trainer. It's like your trainer coming in saying, no water for nobody. You know, yeah. imagine yeah. going to the ring. He's like arguing with his wife on the phone while he's like, we need everybody there. Yeah. And I was one of those guys that was, yeah, the coach was calling a lot of plays for me, but mm-hmm. I wasn't reliable. Mm. And I wanted to change that. And a lot of it had to do with like things I was thinking about that were from the past. Mm. So, you know, meditation, just like, okay, you're in the game. You love the game, right? I do. I love the game. All right. Meditate. Focus on it. You work so hard for it. Mm. And then taking on therapists, techniques, how to breathe, relax. There's a lot of tension here, a lot of tension here.
Right.
Tension in your hips that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
How to breathe and hold it for 5 seconds. Breathe right. out for 5 seconds. Listen to yourself still, close your eyes. And when you can do that as a professional athlete, right. The sky's the limit. So I'm grateful to have those tools.
Man, that's great, man. Because I kind of felt like a lot of the times where you wouldn't perform and stuff, you're just tense. You're just thinking about things too much. And instead of just doing, like I tell people, like I box, I just do it. I don't know what you guys want to say. You could outthink me. I don't even think. I'm just doing. So yeah, you might outthink me. I'm just going to do it. You know what I mean? So when you get to that flow state, that state of you really can't beat me. You know what I mean? Cause I'm not like, I'm a step ahead because I'm not thinking. You're just thinking, I'm doing, you know, and before you're able to even comprehend what I'm doing, I've already hit you. You know what I mean? That's why people get knocked out. You know what I mean? You know, in an instant. But I give that credit to just being able to be kind of fearless, calm in the chaos is what I call it. So say you're going, that's why some few players I see in the NBA, was Michael Jordan, obviously Kobe and just LeBron and just a few players that in a, even if they're making a move, they can make those adjustments on the fly. Like say you're flowing this way, but you know the defender's there, you switch hands and you go that way. Only a few players could, you know, really do that at a very like, you kind of know what you're doing, but it's kind of, you're not thinking about it. You're just doing it. You know what I mean? You flow. It's called flow. Like yeah. Bruce Lee, flow like water. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You kind of just got to go with the flow. If I got to be a cup, I'll be a cup. If I got to be you know what I mean? An oval shape, I'll be an oval shape. If I got to move here, I'll go here. Doesn't matter. I'm in that position to do it. And then obviously look at, like you said, things, was it things that you were reflecting on in the past? It's like forgiveness, right? You got to just forgive whatever. Don't even worry about that situation. You know what I mean? Why? Mm-hmm. Keep moving forward. That's my whole mentality of life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was me back in the day. That's great. I've already forgiven. That's like, and I tell people, going in my past is like trying to rob my house that I used to live in. I don't even live there no more. If you want to live in my past, go ahead. I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm here. I've gotten better already. So you could watch my old fights and think that's me. Good luck, because that's what's going to be your downfall every time. So it's great, man. I'm happy that, you know, we all finding that, you know, sense of relief in this world that's kind of so hectic right now. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, so many people could get to you. So many people could try to bring you down with negativity. It's like, where's the love at, right? And that's why I kind of liked your whole message, meta world peace. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, let's bring some peace into it. You know what I mean? I really like that stance, you know what I mean, that you kind of took on. Same way Muhammad Ali changed his name. Like, you kind of change your name to kind of like reset, right? Or like kind of find, what was the whole reasoning behind that other than, you know, obviously it's a, what was it, Buddhism kind of meaning behind it. But what was it kind of internally for you?
Because, you know, I always told myself, if something is not going right in your life, it doesn't mean you can't make something go right in somebody else's life.
Ooh, I like that.
You know what I'm saying? So from that standpoint, I kind of take your approach from that standpoint, because you said you give everything to God, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I kind of do it differently. I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
When I changed the world peace, it was just the world at that time was crazy. When you look at the people that was affected by the wars that's happening,
right?
You know, more people are affected by wars than I'm affected. Just one sole person is affected by anything. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to change my name to World Peace, you know, and kind of just throw that out there. Like, let people know, if you're thinking about harming someone, you know, maybe like you think differently, you know.
Maybe just that little ounce of just a word, right? From somebody that's a great athlete, that's world peace, right? Maybe just that, right?
It was it was an easy, like you said, flow like water. It was just like, let's just do it. Just change the name. Not even thinking about it. Yeah. And then, and, you know, and I thought it was cool. And then I recently, after 10 years, just changed it back.
Change it back. So you now your name is Ron Artest, or how?
No, it's Meta, but I just took off the world piece.
Okay, so it's Meta Artest. Okay. Oh, that's dope, man. Hey, best of both worlds, man.
Absolutely.
Let's go. Absolutely.
Well, we could change the name to that. You could be Ryan, best of both worlds.
I don't know.
keep your name. It's really good. I sometimes wish I would have kept my name, but
yeah.
Know.
Do you?
Yeah, I do sometimes.
Hey, man, to me, Ron Artest is a beautiful... I love that name. I don't know how you feel, but I love Ron Artest. I love Meta. Yeah. I love, man, all your names is good. You know what I mean? You can't go wrong.
I'm back slowly. Like, I get Artest.
I really like... I don't know why. There's something to Ron Artest. I don't know what it is. It's something, like, I like. I don't know. It brings, like... I don't know, some, like, comfort. Just Ron Artest. I keep saying that. I really like it, though.
Maybe because it's like, I think I was in my prime at that time. Then like Meta was just like kind of the end.
maybe the beginning, right? Maybe the beginning. Yeah. Who knows? Right?
What's next for you? I see the X versus X behind you. What's up with that? What's that?
What's the X?
I see two of them.
X times X.
He wants us to see that.
I know, right? I always use it as my backdrops, my Zoom. I just keep them up. But yeah, it's basically a platform for recreational basketball players to find games. And then sometimes elite basketball players find games, right? So you sign up to the platform, create a game, invite people around your area, your friends. After you play the game in a park, your backyard, a barn, a gym, wherever, input the score, and then you pop up on the leaderboard, right? And then if you go to like New Jersey or Miami or Italy, you'll have a record. And you can play basketball everywhere.
This is like a league.
Can I get it?
Hop on it, please.
Stop lying. Whose team? Can I join some of your teams? Or can you? Can we do something?
No, Ryan could ball. He can ball. He really can.
I just got the idea of a vlog, and I'm not going to let it slip. You teach me basketball. I teach you boxing. But I want to join an X times X team.
Let's do it.
What you want, though? But you got to be on my team, though.
I'll be on your team. I just play basketball. If you go on my Instagram, you'll see that I was just lighting it up the other day.
No, you got to see me play. I don't know. I don't want to speak too highly of myself in basketball. But what I do know, if I get an opening floater, if I get a floater, any space for a floater, you're done. You're done. My floaters hit every time. I got good ball handles. I know how to control my body in the air. So I'm ready to play.
Ryan can play.
I could really play. So... I really want to get on your team. Please. No, I'm begging you.
Absolutely. And teach me how to get away from a punch.
Man, that's easy. I'm gonna make you.
You gotta show him this one to not move.
I know. I'm gonna show you the money punch that I've hit everybody since I was a little kid. And I'm pretty sure if you're able to just to master this one punch, it'll take you farther than you could even imagine.
I actually don't want to punch anybody. I just want to play defense. I'm not gonna
lie. Man. Sometimes offense is defense. You might have to jab a few to show them. Not today, buddy. Not today. Hey, sometimes you need to hand check them. You're not coming here, boy. You know what I mean? You kind of got to do. Sometimes offense is defense, but man. This has been crazy. I'm still. It's kind of surreal. I really got Ron Artest. So I'm gonna watch win a championship. I remember where I was when you guys won too. That championship. It was the Celtics. I was in my brother's stepbrother's house, and I was going crazy. Like I was back when I was a Lakers fan. Like I was actually a true Lakers fan. It didn't matter who was on the team. It was just you guys for some reason had that chemistry, had that thing that put my heart out, and I was like, man, I love the Lakers. I kind of drifted away. Not really a Lakers fan. I'm more of a I like teams. I like, you know, I kind of like players now. You know what I mean? I'm more of a player type of guy. Doesn't really matter what team you're on. If I like you, Let's go. You know what I mean?
Who's your favorite player right now?
Oh, man. It's probably a few. I got a few. Obviously, LeBron James. He's always supported me. He's posted me on his Instagram and stuff like that. And it's just been love all around. You know, when he actually, my last fight, when he called me King, I was like, oh, there it is. I'm changing my name to King Ryan on Instagram. It used to be King Ryan G. But I was like, nah, LeBron James called me King Ryan. I got to call myself King now. You know what I mean? Just King Ryan. There's no more G at the end. It's just King Ryan. You know what I mean? So
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, it was cool. And then Steph Curry, me and him did a video together. So Steph Curry, and then he was like, that team when they were winning was probably my favorite team to watch. Just entertainment, like entertainment wise. Crazy stuff they were doing, like comeback wins, shooting threes from everywhere. It was nuts. Like when I was watching them win, I was like, how can a team beat these guys? Like, it didn't it seem like they were unstoppable, right? Like for a little bit, I thought they were unstoppable.
Honestly, I'd be trying to figure out ways that I could have beat that team. And sometimes I can't think of a good way. I can't think of it. I don't know how we would have done it.
How do you guard that? He's just running down the court and popping the three. How do you guard that? Do you guard that?
It's one of the most insane things I've ever seen in my life. I don't know what I do with that. Because there was times where I would have to guard guards.
Yeah.
And I can contain them.
Yeah.
I don't know what I do with them. I don't know how I stop them.
Yo, that was crazy, man.
Ron had to drop that three in Paul Pierce's face. I will never forget that.
I'll never
forget. Paul Pierce was my dude, man. And
Before we start these last questions, I want to ask about that interview you had when you heard Phil Jackson in your mind saying, don't shoot the three, Ron. Don't shoot the three. And then you popped that three still.
Yeah.
What was that moment like? You weren't a three-point shooter, were you? No, I don't think so.
Well, I wasn't when I got with the Lakers.
Right.
But
right.
Before that, you know, like one year I was doing, I did 38% from the three.
Oh,
I was,
nice.
You know, average 20, 19. I was able to shoot, but you know, when I got towards the end of my career, when I was in my prime, it was when I was with a bunch of dogs like Powell,
yeah, Ryan
Fisher, Kobe. So you just get a little bit of time to shine.
Hey, no, you went and grabbed those rebounds though. You're on that court hustling.
Yeah, I was in there. I was playing a lot of minutes. You know, it was a different role.
You were. But that's letting go of that ego and just succeeding and, you know, for the better, for your team's success, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Letting go of that ego really will propel you to new heights. It's crazy. Sure, it is crazy. But yeah, now that we're coming to the end, we're going to ask some YouTube fan questions that they have for both of us. I went on my YouTube and I asked my fans, what do you want to ask us? We got one from Drip. Drip is asking, I love the name. Drip is asking, what was your most memorable game for you? What was yours?
Most memorable game, I would say.
Not game 7 against the Celtics.
I know, right? I mean, that's a memorable game. My most memorable game. That game 7 was crazy. I think the year before that, when I was playing against the Lakers, when I was with the Rockets in the playoffs, it was like the first time in a long time I had a team that was actually won a championship before the Pacers. So it showed the first game, it would be Lakers. I had a big game. I had some really big games that game. And, you know, just like if you watch the highlights, you'll see like I was just cooking.
Yeah, you and Kobe were going at it with each other. No?
Yeah, it was good.
That was dope, though.
Drip also wants to know, because I also want to know this too. Do you think the league is more soft nowadays?
I think the transition from 2009 and 10 to about 2015, 16, they was transitioning. They opened up for zone. Open up the international game, change the rules. And then it was like a little bit getting adjusted to. They were just trying to make it more appealing to the world. And then in the last like 3 years, now it's like we're getting back to basketball. The last 3 years is really physical. But now they bring it back to bigs. So they got rid of the bigs, opened the game up, made it more appealing. Bigs went extinct like dinosaurs.
They did.
And now it's coming back to the 80s and 90s.
Oh, I love it. Okay, now I'm about to start watching even more now.
Definitely.
All right. Awesome. Dang, that was pretty good insight. Thank you, man. And then we got another question from Elio Lawler. He wants to know, is LeBron the greatest of all time in your opinion? Ooh.
I think Bill Russell is, honestly.
Bill Russell?
Yeah.
Better than Michael?
Yeah, Bill Russell got 11 championships.
That's true. No, that's true. But do you think the different eras matter, or you don't put that in consideration?
I mean, I look at Michael as one of the greatest, but I think Bill Russell's out just the greatest. When you can win in your era, that's what it's about. It's about winning in your era.
Right, right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and he dominated. Nobody dominated like that. Not even Michael Jordan.
That's true.
Not even Michael Jordan. Shaq is also somebody I think that is one of the greatest players ever. And also Jordan, but I think Shaq too, because no one in the world can stop Shaq. Not even like Thanos probably would have had a problem with Shaq.
Thanos. Even with the Infinity Stones?
Huh?
Even with the Infinity Stones?
Even with the Infinity Stones. Shaq had the Infinity Stones.
He already had them on natural. He had the natural Infinity Stones. You couldn't even take his away.
Oh, yeah.
That's Shaq crazy, man. But thank you so much for coming on, Meta. It's been such a privilege talking to you. And I'm pretty sure we're going to do more stuff together. Can't wait to do that vlog. I promise you that's happening. You already know the deal. Me and you got to get together. We got to play some ball. We got to box. So we're going to do that. But I thank you so much, man. I love you so much. Thanks for all that you've done for the game. Thanks for all the things you've done for mental health. I really appreciate you, man. You're doing a great job. You've done a great job. I'm sorry. You've done a great job. And I know that you're coming back with that same character, that same vibe. And I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Love you too. And the family. And shout out to all you guys out there. Keep doing your thing. And I'm just appreciate you having me on your show. Absolutely.
Definitely. Hey, God bless you and your whole family too. All right, man.
Bless you too.
Thanks to my guest, Meta Artest. Be sure to check out his basketball connection platform, X versus X, at X versus X sports.com, or follow at X versus X sports on all social media platforms. I'm going to be joining that. So I suggest everybody else join it. And thanks to everyone out there listening. Keep writing, keep commenting, and keep sending in your questions. It's great hearing from all you guys, and we appreciate the support. Follow, like, and subscribe wherever you watch and listen to podcasts. This is me, Ryan Garcia, and Meta Artest signing out. And also, I can't forget Scott Solomon, my co-host. We're all signing out. Thank you guys so much again for joining. Peace.
Meta.
Meta. Peace. Let's go.